PW Hustle Networks present PWR at the Movies. Join the professor, Tommy Wonder, and JB as they discuss the greatest pro wrestling moments in movie history.
Out to 30 years of purgatory, they're coming back and pulling us down into a river of blood. You already know. You've already seen.
She's down by the river. I've never seen anything like it.
They say that the Jacob boys have come back from the dead. They've come back for their revenge.
Jacob's boys, they never really bothered anybody. Harvey Hicks and a band of vigilante thugs went down to the river and sent them over the dam to their deaths.
We had three murders in this town.
And the word Hicks appears at both crime scenes.
This town's already damned.
They're here. They've come.
For 30 years, those souls have been drowning in that river over and over again.
This town's going to hell quick.
This is all your fault!
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil.
Nights, what is going on there to the Beatoites, the Hominites, the probationary PWCites, the Leftites, the Rightites, the Demites, the Repubites, the Gazaites, the Israelites, the Jewites, the Russianites, the Ukrainites, all the ites all over the world, the Magnificent 7, the Elite 8, the Naughty 9, the Terrific 10, you know who you are. And you know what? It's a week after WrestleMania. The WrestleMania hangover, it's done. The story has been finished. The chapter is over and the professor, you know, I gotta admit, I'm crying a little bit here and there. You know, I had my story. I kept telling TW, I said October 2024, it just didn't happen. So, you know, with WrestleMania being over and Cody Rhodes becoming the WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion of the World, congratulations to Cody. Congratulations to Brandy. Congratulations to Farrell the dog. Congratulations to their daughter. Congratulations to Ricky Starks, MJF, DDP, Nightmare Factory, and all that jazz. He deserved it. He earned it. And now there's only one question left. The countdown to you fickle motherfuckers saying, God damn it, he's boring. God damn it, you know, it's good. Same old with his promos. God damn it, he's on TV every week overexposing. Again, I'm just waiting for you fickle fans. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out. The tweets are there. The countdown has begun to CodyBoredom.com. But anyway, neither here nor there. Welcome or welcome to the PWR Podcast here at the Hami Media Group at Podbeam.com. Why you got your finger on the pulse?
I'm scrolling for information.
Oh, okay. It just looked like you were scrolling for some sort of sexual pics. Not neither here nor there.
Oh, no, I wasn't in your DMs with all the gay porn.
Hey, no, that's your gay porn. I ain't lying with my hands. I'm doing my show here.
This stupid app has fucking updated and changed everything.
You know audio reflection ice?
I feel like I was scratching records, dude.
Audio reflection ice, I hope you have a great picture in your head of what I'm looking at right now. But if you need to see the video, go on Twitter. Go on the X.
Big Ray Hernandez reminded you of poop things. Too.
Shut the hell up. First of all, shut the hell up. Number two, go on Big Ray Hernandez's Xer profile where he unleashes the video version of the PWR podcast. But neither here nor there. Welcome to the PWR podcast at Tommy Media Group at Podbean.com. And I am the also effervescent one. I am the also studious one. I am, most importantly, the only glorious one here in the IWC, YWC, PWC punditry. The only objective man in this Twitter, in the Twitterverse hemisphere. The only objective man in this political hemisphere. The Professor Chabelle Cruz. And I'm not here alone. No. I'm here with my brother from another mother. The conservative liberal. The liberal conservative. Dum dum doing idiot song. The iron stomach one. Dr. Freaking Stein and the longest reigning Detroit heavyweight champion of the world. Tommy Wonder, how you doing, my friend? And you was just showing all the action figures of Cody Rhodes and all the winners, per se, of WrestleMania.
Yeah, you said the winners. I was showing all the new champions, but I don't have a Grayson Waller. But I got the future GOAT.
Oh, yeah. Logan Paul, the U.S. champion, had a great showing, too. Basically, it was a great weekend. You know, night two was better than night one, obviously, because of the pageantry and all the surprises. But that's just semantics. But WrestleMania overall was a great pay-per-view. I'll give you a little 3 minute to 5 minute soliloquy, TW. What did you like? What did you not like about WrestleMania besides showing, you know, doing show and tell with the action figures?
There's one thing I would change, but other than that, it was done perfectly. You wrote a comment on someone saying it was fucking overbooked mess or whatever the hell that dumbass said. Sounded like that Joe. What's that Joe's last name?
Joe Smith. Are you talking about
Joe Dumbass Smith? Mr. AEW fucking human centipede. But anyways, the only thing I would once I saw The Rock and Roman Reigns win, I knew. Which they had to, because you had to. Had they won, then it would have just been a bad weekend for Roman Reigns, period, right? Uh-huh. But and then you would be like, all right, Cody's winning now. And it would make me think that he was going to lose, because it made it look like he was going to win because he had his one-on-one shot. But having them lose, having him sit in the ring like that, having Seth look just thoroughly disappointed – they did awesome things during the match to make it look like they did Barry Windham, Lex Luger in that match, where you thought for sure Seth was going to turn on Cody because he wasn't there when he went to make the tag twice, not once, twice. And in the mm-hmm. very end, he pushes Cody out of the way from taking the spear. And like, it was just so well done. And the fact that they gave him 45 minutes to do it. I think night one was Rhea and
Becky
was that first.
Mm-hmm. That was the opening match.
Was Drew and Punk. They did perfect with Drew and Punk. Drew as a heel, having what happened to happen to him was perfect, because it's just going to give him more heat, right? That freaking Philadelphia street fight I could have done without twice. More than once, I texted Travis and other friends, this is going to test my patience of watching wrestling without the fast forward option. I didn't watch all of night one. I was busy doing King of the Nighttime World type shit. But the main event, it was a little slow for me, like, but almost methodical. I'm pretty convinced the Usos are dead, from what they did, but you had the Usos tie theirs up. Then you had Cena come out and basically get his revenge on Solo. And then I feel like Cena should at least got a back and forth with The Rock before just getting bitched out. But it was Cena giving Rock back the what he gave him 11 years ago when he put him over clean. He took the rock bottom. But I didn't like The Undertaker being the third guy. I think it should have been Austin. Obviously, even better would have been Dustin, right?
Well, the analogy for Undertaker was he's always been that's a mark card putting him in there. Made no sense to have Austin there because that was out of respect for each other. Undertaker.
It would have made sense for Austin because it would have been Austin and Rock were rivals. That's why it would have
Undertaker, analogy wise, was the final boss of the locker room. He was the locker room leader. He was the man that
right.
was the
so final he's the one making things right. I get that.
Right.
But he looked like he was 107 years old and he could. Everyone says The Rock sandbagged him. The Rock didn't sandbag him. Undertaker couldn't get him up because of the stretch pants. So he didn't have the gear to grab and lift him up.
And The Rock jumped up to help him make it look good as best as he could. So, you know, he did his prop.
And took a stiff bump. But all of it was perfect. And then the one thing that I liked was a theme throughout. And again, this is stuff, if you don't pay attention to detail, you're going to miss it. And you're going to make stupid posts saying it's overbooked, right? They wrapped up 4 years worth of storylines in that damn thing. The only thing missing was Sami Zayn because he was part of that, right? So...
you could have had Sami Zayn, you could have had Kevin Owens, you could have LA Knight for what they were going through with the bloodline.
What they could have done is if Tama and whatever Tonga became new members of the thing, then, and that could be tonight though. They might be saving that like Solo, because Solo kind of took charge and bossed Roman around. So Solo could very well do, and this obviously is being recorded before Monday Night Raw, the fourth wall, we just let you behind. Solo could come out and do Triple H. 1998 and say Roman dropped the ball. I'm the new leader and it's me, Jimmy, and then introduce Tama and the other Tonga, whatever the hell their names are. It would be perfect. And or Jimmy could take the reign, right? Except for he's probably dead. Him and Jay are I don't think Jay looked to see he was in front of that damn crash pad because
Jay got up and celebrated with Cody, so he's okay. So Jimmy just played it off beautifully.
Oh, dude, it looked like they were dead. But it was perfectly done. And the other little subtle thing is you could easily say if Cody would just pin Roman after one whatever the hell that move's
Crossroads.
Called. Crossroads, he'd have been champion, but because he went for two, Solo was able to get up and thumb him in the throat and he lost. So last night, more than once, he went for more than two and got stopped by. He got super kicked by Jimmy the first time. Second time, he took the throat, but he kicked out that time. And then the third time was a charm. He did three of them. That makes Roman look strong. I see it going around the internet now, but I immediately texted Travis. I don't know if I texted you guys because I don't know if you guys were interacting with me last night. But I texted Travis and then my Canadian buddies, and I'm like, did you guys see Roman's face when they hit three? He looked relieved, like this was a good thing for him, but also happy for Cody. And now that's going around, people saying and other people disagreeing that he smiled. That dude had an ear in grin when the guy said three, and that's what makes you know people love that dude, Cody. And the guy that I've had issues with since the first time I saw him, I call him Little Rock. Ricky Starks, to see his reaction, I'm actually getting emotional talking about it, to see his reaction to his friend fulfilling his dream. Because that's what people, my buddy texted me, my buddy Joe said, I don't get it. Why do they do all this celebrating if they know it's predetermined? I go, Joe, if you aren't invested in it, you'll never understand. I'm like, that thing was so many moments for so many people that it just, I do feel like for me personally, I didn't get as emotional as I thought I would. I was happy for him. I actually, earlier on when Drew, I think it's perfect that Drew got the belt taken 5 minutes after he won it, because I think for Drew, he needs to win the belt that Cody won, because he's not even the first world champion. He's the second, and they don't have that tied to any lineage of anything else. So to me, it's almost like winning the Rick Rude supposed world title, the NWA International.
It still is a world championship. Stop
I know
doing
that one is, but that NWA
it's a world championship on the marquee. Drew got his moment in front of 70,000 people. It means something, and it means something to Boricua badass Damian Priest to be a heavyweight champion of the world. So I'm not gonna take that.
But it's different for Damian. Damian wasn't doing it to have his moment in front of a crowd. The moment he won in front of the crowd was the other belt that he won in COVID. That was not in front of the crowd. That was that belt. This new belt is nothing.
That's called timing. It's just timing. It is what it is.
And you know what's cool? I thought about it. Obviously, Cody has to do SmackDown now, right? Until September. And then SmackDown will be on USA, so he'll be back on USA. And then Netflix will be Netflix. Because is Netflix going to be live on Monday nights, or is it just going to be stream it whenever they put it up?
It'll be live Monday and then stream it on demand.
Does Netflix even have the capabilities of having live?
Yeah.
I've never watched anything live on Netflix.
I got a Netflix subscription. They're doing everything live now.
What are they doing live? They got new shit?
They did award shows. They did comedy specials live. So they got, really? They already have the they have the capacity to do live stuff.
That's so good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Join back.
But overall, the Hurt Business match was garbage. I wasn't a real big fan of what was the other one? I liked AJ and LA Knight, and I did text my Canadian buddies. I'm like, that's the battle of TNA heavyweight champions right there. Like, those guys got to be loving it. I love that AJ put them over clean. I think there was one other match. Was there a girls match that wasn't for a belt?
That you talk about Jade.
Night two. I didn't watch night one. What night one? No, I just watched the tag match.
Night two was Bayley against Io Sky for the title.
That was the only women's match?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that horrible, horrible ECW. Everyone's saying the Uso versus Uso was trash. And it was. My Jeff Kavanaugh from Impact, he might not be anymore.
EW, remember, we're doing other stuff. I gave you 5 minutes, but now you're going.
It's all right.
You're doing 9 minutes, man. You're doing 9 minutes.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. What I was told was that ECW Street Fight match made Uso versus Uso look like Steamboat versus Savage. So that means when I watch Uso versus Uso, I probably won't be that disappointed. But Drew versus Seth is the one that I didn't really care for. That was the most AEW match I've ever seen in WWE. It was just 17 finishers. They both kicked out of them, and then finally it was almost Old Yeller put me
on.
You just
like the book. You like the booking, but you don't like the match. I get you. I understand.
Yeah.
I know TW is so particular. Reflectionized. We know this. We already know how TW is, and of course.
So all you AEW neckbeards who think I don't critique WWE shit, there was stuff I did not like. It wasn't an A+ mania, but it was damn good A-.
That's better than what some manias were in the last 7 years. So with that being said, let's do what we do best here at the PWR podcast. We do nostalgia. And God damn it, we're going back to the movies, TW, and I picked a doozy. I didn't do this on purpose, but
you know,
I was reflectionized. To be fair here.
I was
on social media. I was on Instagram, and I keep up TW with certain like wrestling Instagram profiles. And there's a podcast that there was like this 15 second clip, and they were doing their spiel. And they were like, and they were doing a review of a Kurt Angle movie. And I was like, wait a minute, Kurt Angle's doing a movie? I remember Kurt Angle did a movie review, Wrestlers versus Zombies. So we knew that Kurt Angle, Reflectionize, had the bug for Hollywood. But I did not know, Reflectionize, that Kurt Angle has a multitude of movies in his catalog. And I found a doozy of a movie that has iconic figures. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you got Kurt Angle in the starring role. You got two real sexy Kevin Nash. Big sexy, I mean, Kevin Nash. You got TW's favorite Psycho Sid Vicious in it. And of course, everybody's favorite from WCW days, Glacier, had a cameo role in this.
Cameo? That dude's almost in it as much as Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, with the lines he had, it felt like a cameo to me. But again, we'll discuss it as best as we can. We're going to try to give some minutes on this one because, what Kurt Angle did with Wrestlers versus Zombies, that movie is like Gone with the Wind. In comparison to the movie that we're going to review right now from 2011, Reflectionize, it's called River of Darkness, TW. And before we even talk about, certain parameters of this movie, TW, we always talk about the business end of it. We always talk about, the motivation for, wrestlers wanting to cross over into Hollywood. And Kurt Angle is no different. And we understand, TW, that Kurt Angle has that, itch to go to Hollywood because, again, during his time in the wrestling business, Reflectionites, You know, he was giving you 110% in the ring. He was doing the moonsaults. He was, you know, he kept wrestling with a broken freaking neck. He had neck fusion surgery after a Brock Lesnar match. He had knee surgeries. He had, you know, all this stuff, TW. He had to take rehab. He had to take Percocets. He was pill Kurt Angle. Was he called pill Kurt Angle or perk Kurt Angle? I forget what it was. But you know what I'm saying. And I'm not even trying to joke. But perk Angle. That was it. He was called perk Angle. Yeah. But
he put away the alcohol too. I've seen it in person.
Not in 2011, but again, I'll get to that in a second. But Kurt Angle said that if he stayed in the WWE system, if he stayed in the WWE environment, he was going to die. So he had to leave in 2006. And of course, he made the jump. But in 2006, he made the jump. And it was one of the coups of professional wrestling history where he jumped to TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, if you will, Reflection Nights. And of course, he was the face and he was the flag bearer of Impact Wrestling. And of course, with a lighter schedule and a lot more money, TW, he can do the venturing into Hollywood. So what say you, TW, about Kurt Angle? Because in the WWE side, he had the gift of gab. And on the WWE side, he had personality. On the WWE side, he had charisma. He had the comedic timing and all that stuff. So it's just very natural to do the Hollywood stuff. But again, I think TNA wanted him to do Hollywood for a different reason, and that was called brand awareness. What say you, TW, about Kurt Angle's venture into Hollywood?
This movie was while he was in AEW or TNA.
Yes, it was.
Oh, boy. So it's at least 15 years old, 14 years old.
It came out in 2011.
So he recorded in 2010. Here's why I disagree. The WWE basically threatened to fire him if he didn't go to rehab, and then fired him so he would go to rehab, and then he went right to TNA. This is when I started having ill will towards TNA because, yes, I get what he's saying. He's saying the grind, he would have had to do stuff to keep up with the grind. I get that part. But the problem is, much like Jeff Hardy, when he went to Impact, nobody fucking policed it. So he ended up doing more stuff recreationally, not just to, you know. And then didn't he do a moonsault off one of them TNA cages? Like,
yeah, he did that.
Yeah, so he did all that stuff. Trust me, he did all that stuff, hopped up on something. And that's why I thought it was reckless for them to not once, but twice, because they did it again with Jeff Hardy, to take a guy that the WWE is basically begging to go get help. And they took them and said, we'll take you. And, you know, you got to worry about none of that stuff. Because I think 11 years earlier, WCW had been like, nope, you need help. Like, they would have cared to not have somebody die on their watch because he came there and got, you know, worse. But to his credit,
I don't know if they allowed it. Let's be fair here. I mean, again, Dixie Carter was a sweet lady, and of course she had a bit. She was thinking about her business first and foremost. I get that, but she has maybe a, let's say, a kind heart, if you will, TW. They didn't have a drug policy. They didn't have, like, well, you're going to be suspended unless you did something really egregious. Right. Yeah, he did the deal. He had those DUI stints, you know, with the cops, and he had his TMC domestic violence and all that stuff. And she kind of, like, but she knew that she needed her cash cow, and that's Kurt Angle. I'm not trying to excuse it, but again, I understand the WWE side being like, you know, they had the drug policies, they, you know, the 60-day suspensions. I get all that. But again, there's a difference between WWE and TNA, and that's the grind of WWE. That's the 300-day-a-year, you know, modus operandi of Vince McMahon. Dixie Carter offered half those dates at double the money, so it would behoove anybody to take that opportunity. But Dixie Carter knew she needed something out of Kurt Angle, and to venture into Hollywood, I think when people see Kurt Angle in these type of movies, first and foremost, I wish that he was in the WWE banner, because I think Kurt Angle would have been the staple of the WWE Studios movies. You know what I mean? Like, you know how The Miz was the staple of all the Marine movies? Kurt Angle might have been the next Marine. Kurt Angle might have been the next kind of James Bond in the WWE Studios movies. But again, he did the independent scenes, just like we're going to do with this movie review here. That's just my opinion. And If you want to push back, go ahead, TW.
No, I listen. He did what he did. He's still here today in 2024, and I'm happy for it. And but knowing that this is 2011, I'm assume that Zombies vs. Wrestlers was even sooner than that.
No, it was later.
I'm not surprised, A, that he's not still doing movies, and B, that Glacier has only been in one. It's just this. I'm just going to say it right off the top. And I think the last movie we watched, I said, this is a safe bet to say this is the worst shit we'll ever watch. This takes the cake. This is absolutely horrendous. Kevin Nash and Sid are the zombie Taylor boys. I thought they called them Taker boys, and then they were Jacob boys. I swear they changed their name midway through the movie from Taker boys to Jacob boys. I never got to see the dad. I don't even know who the dad was.
A little transparency reflection. Actually, you know how TW watches and reviews things. When it comes to movies, he sleeps a little bit because the movie bores him.
I did fall asleep during this
one. He watched the movie in four spurts. You had to watch 25 minutes, 25 minutes, 25 minutes, and then, you know, whatever's left over. That's how TW does it. So I can never negotiate on TW. At least he's watching the movie for the professor, and I applaud him for that, you know, because then he'd be like, shit, I ain't watching this thing. And remember, it's free. He didn't have to pay $5.99 to rent it. He didn't have to pay $9.99 to buy it, because then I probably have to, you know, Western Union the money, because I feel bad for him.
Midway through it, I almost messaged you and said, hey, man, is this shit commercial free on YouTube? Because I had to watch it with commercials.
Yeah, it is commercial free on YouTube.
Yeah, I almost switched, but I was like, you know what, I just got to get through this shit, because if I change it, I'm going to get sidetracked and not do it. It's fucking terrible. It's not fair. Zombies vs. Wrestlers is still worse. But what is the other movie that we watched that I said nothing's going to beat this?
Hell Comes to Frog Town. That was our last movie just did.
No wonder I couldn't remember. You know what? This might be worse than Hell Comes to Frog Town. But
yeah, Hell Comes to Frog Town had a story. This one doesn't have nudity, a real story.
Near nudity. I think maybe I did see some boobs in that. But
yes, you did.
Zombies vs. Wrestlers is still worse. That's still worse. But this one, and don't worry, because we're going to end up doing it. You always pick the shitty movie, so I'm picking it. Army of whatever the fuck I just told you. Army of the Dark.
Army of the Damned or Army of Darkness?
Army of the Damned. It comes on immediately after the shithole movie ends. And I hear the voice, and I look in the kitchen to the living room, and I go, holy shit, I knew it was him. Tommy Dreamer and Selena. And this is funny, because as I say this, Tommy Dreamer was once called Tommy Wonder by Ref A.T. Huck, who did ECW stuff. He kept calling him Wonder, and finally Dreamer looked at him and goes, what are you calling me? And he's like, are you calling me Wonder? He goes, oh shit, Dreamer. Tommy Wonder's a different guy. And that happened in the match, right? So Tommy Dreamer. And then who do I see in the next scene videotaping Sully from Godsmack? Joey Fat One, my doppelganger. So I'm like, this movie was meant for me to see. And I don't think that was 2011. That one's probably 2020.
He's already requesting we do this movie. So we'll do that at another time, at a later date.
But let me say this. Of this horrendous movie, the best part of it, God bless him.
There is a best part? Oh, my God.
Is Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is not terrible. The writing is. Mm-hmm. Like, in the cadence between conversations, like him and Glacier talking and cussing for the sake of cussing. By the way, that's another complaint I have about WWE. Way too much cussing now. They've basically become AEW plus by cussing just as much as they did or more, plus F-bombs. That stupid water bottle guy kept dropping F-bombs to Randy Orton. But anyway, Kurt Angle gave it the old college try. Glacier was horrendous. And all I thought is, no wonder they didn't let him talk. He can't. And it just was cheesy, man. But the funny thing is, he looked like the original guy from Walking Tall, the movie that The Rock remade. Gilbert, whatever the hell that guy's name, he used to be a football player and then he became an actor. But that guy was a good actor, at least. Glacier is not. Roy Frazier, what the hell's his name?
We're not doing another movie, because then I'm not.
No, what's Glacier's real name? It said it in the credits. Oh,
Glacier's real name is, what was it?
Roy.
Ray Lloyd.
Ray Glacier Lloyd is what it said. Like, they thought he was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And it was just...
Look,
Sid and Kevin Nash are the other two good parts of this movie, because luckily they don't talk, other than Kevin Nash going, already dead. I'm like, is that an Undertaker joke? What was that? And then he no-sells getting shot by saying already dead.
Wait, you're going into
the neck and screams, ow!
I got to at least get the backdrop. Wait, hold on.
It's fucking terrible. There's no reason to go step by step with this guy.
But again, this is what we do.
Please watch it, Ray. Please watch it. He's probably already watched it twice. And he's going to think it was good.
Reflection, this is what we do. And Tommy Wonder right now is trying to do a fast forward for himself right now. And we cannot allow that. But I will do an abbreviated version. And of course, this is a horror. Is this a horror classic, TW? Do you want to call this a horror classic?
Fucking horrible is what it is.
Okay, you call it horrible. It's a horror classic. But again,
fucking hilarious. Horrible is instead of horror classic.
It is hilarious. I'm laughing right now, but I'm just saying. It is a horror classic from 2011. It was
not a classic. It's not a fucking classic. Stop. Real classics like Grease 2 and Peggy Sue Got Married.
Hell Comes the Frog Town is a cult classic. So this is a horror cult classic, no matter what. So
shit ain't no fucking classic either.
Shut up. Let me do my gimmick right now, okay?
Yeah, do your
anyway, part. This was released in March of 2011 from G2 Pictures. And it stars Kurt Angle as Sheriff Will Logan. And the backdrop reflection is that this town is haunted. This town has got a curse. Because for some strange reason, there was this guy named Hicks who accused three boys, the Jacobs boys, and we only can see the faces of two, and that is Kevin Nash and Sid Vicious. And there's supposed to be a third one who's the slower one.
It was Colonel.
No. They're all brothers.
I thought they killed the dad too.
I'm just giving you the backdrop. See, he hates the movie so much, but I'm trying to get the logistics. Let me just do it. There are three brothers, the Jacobs boys, who was accused of raping a little girl. It was Hicks's daughter or granddaughter. The townspeople, it's a small town like in Louisiana or Mississippi,
daughter.
Whatever.
It was Hicks's daughter. Yeah.
Whatever the case may be, it's a small town in the South, like Mississippi, Louisiana, stuff like that. And when you're in a small town, the small town comes at the three Jacobs boys and they kill them. So what happens here in this small town? Well, there's a curse. And the curse is that these Jacobs boys somehow become zombies. So what we got here, TW, is a combination of, let's say in writing per se, TW, Nightmare on Elm Street, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Friday the 13th. In that
Creature
kind of
from breath. The Black Lagoon.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Because everything happened on the water.
Well, I give you that. But again, those are the common.
And there's a nod to Frankenstein in there.
There's a nod to a lot of movies. That's how lazy this is.
Yeah.
First and foremost. But TW, what say you about the backdrop of this movie? Because again, with the combinations of Nightmare on Elm Street, Creature from the Blue Lagoon, Friday the 13th, Frankenstein, and all that stuff, this director, what's his name right now? I got the notes. Bruce Kohler. This is like somebody like copying your homework. He's right there. It's like 5 minutes due, and you're looking to your left, you're looking to your right, and you're just taking answers, and then you try to get all the credit. What's the ATW about the logistics of
horrible.
This movie?
It's fucking horrible. And the beginning looks like they filmed it in 1987 with the two chick or the chick sitting by the tree talking about her diary. Then when they switch to Kurt Angle's town, it's completely different film that they record this on. One of them ain't digital. Right. Or uh-huh. Neither of them. One's 8mm. One's 35mm. Then when they go back to the three paranormal fucking searchers, looks like another fucking different movie. Like they splice footage from three different eras together to make this movie. So not only is the director shit, the cinematographer is also shit. And the writer is shit because the writing is god awful. It opens up with that girl talking about, they didn't blame me for the children's deaths, but they suspended me from school nonetheless. So I'm like, what the fuck is this, Columbine? Like, what the fuck is she talking about? And then the end scene is that same chick sitting in front of that tree. Like, she's the one telling the story the whole time. And just lets us in on the big reveal at the end, right? So, which you talked about the synopsis of why the boys were killed or whatever, but the end gives away the real thing. And and
we'll
it's so poorly written
that
you're like, dude, no offense. I know, I think he's in our Hameen Media Group somehow. It's very Vince Russo-ish writing. It's just it's so bad, dude. So bad.
I think even Vince Russo would look at this movie and be like, no, bro, I'm not taking credit for kind of like...
Oh, no, if we did this, and we did... What if Kevin Nash said, I really did, and everyone would pop for The Undertaker? Like, just so bad, dude.
It's just so bad. But, TW, we have to at least talk about the killing scenes. Because the first killing scene is... Because we haven't seen Kurt Angle yet, Reflection Nights. This is the funny thing. The first thing is now, there's, you know, the waitress... wants to take a break from the restaurant or the diner. She needs to smoke a doobie because she had a long day. She wanted her coworker to do it. And already, TW, the dumbness, the stereotypical dumbness. I hate to say it, TW, don't cancel me, but the stereotypical dumbness of white people in horror movies. I need to smoke a joint at midnight in the fog of the dead of night in a river. You see the fog coming up. I just need to smoke a joint. And then you see shadow figures. She's walking and all that stuff. And one of the Jacobs boys, most probably is Kevin Nash, who's doing the killing on this one. But then comes up right behind her. She turns her head. And the killing, even the killing was so fucking cheap. I wish CGI was available to make the killing scene even look better. It just looks so lazy. What say, TW, about the first killing scene?
She's the first of at least two people that they gave her dialogue as she's dying. And the dialogue was something stupid like, oh, shit, or something like that. But that might have been the guy. Or she might have said, ow. I think she said, ow, in the middle of it. And you're like, that fucking made it past the editing? Ow. On the second pass. Because he stabbed her, pulled it out, stabbed her again, then lifted her up. And apparently she fell off the knife and just laid there. Then did the old choking up blood thing. And then I swear she said, ow, or something like that on the second stabbing. And you're just like, and then he drags her in the water. So I'm thinking, okay, he's trying to hide the body so nobody knows, except for one problem. There's a fucking puddle of blood on the dock. Is he going to come back and scrub that with a little spick and span or what? But no. Well, wait, there's more. The next fucking day, she's crucified on the fucking lamppost of the fucking dock. And then Kurt Angle comes, who the fuck would do something like this?
And Reflection Nights, we are introduced to Sheriff Will Logan, that is played by the lead actor, Kurt Angle, and he had the gimmick line when he saw the crucified first dead girl. You remember what he said?
Who could do something like this?
No. The first thing he said when he saw it, sweet Mary and Joseph. Who could have done something like that? So,
and his partner was fucking Barney from fucking Andy Griffith.
This is Mayberry RFD retarded. I don't know, retarded FD. I don't know.
That's gonna get you canceled.
I can't help but reflectionize. This movie sucks to the umpteenth degree. But again, we're meeting Kurt Angle, Sheriff Will Logan, TW for the first time. And it's funny because Kurt Angle doesn't really, he's not a professional cop. I'm trying to explain this right, Reflection Ice, because he won an election, and of course, the other candidate was Glacier, who is a mop boy at a restaurant, who's, you know, he's a diner chef or a diner cook or a diner cleaner, whatever the case may be, but he's a mop boy. Or it could be the owner, I don't know, but that he's not a professional cop, TW, and nobody respects him, and of course, the backdrop
is... He's like an outsider is what they make him out to be.
He's
like
an outsider in his own town. He's an outsider with the job of being the sheriff of the small town. And he's an agnostic. He does not believe in faith, TW. What say you about the complex character of Kurt Angle?
Sheriff Kurt Angle's an agnostic in this?
He did not believe in God. He doesn't believe in faith. If you really pay attention to the movie...
It's I heard him say I went to church, but I wouldn't call myself a religious man. But I didn't think he meant he was an atheist.
He wasn't.
I just thought he meant he doesn't practice, you know, like going
when to church. When he's seeing death like this, he's trying to give it the simplest explanation, which he couldn't.
Right. He's dismissing the old folklore or whatever, which is also fucking terrible writing, how they even try to explain that. But it's just, it's horrible, man. This movie's horrible. None of it is believable. Not that three dudes coming back from the dead is believable anyway, but it's just so fucking bad. And then the old man, it gets whacked, he's like 90, and the chick trying to give him a gummer is about 89, and she's rubbing his arm. You're such a strong provider, because he fucking caught a bunch of fish in a net. Then he's whacking him, and then for some reason just walks out on the dock, and that's the second death where he goes, oh, shit. While he's bleeding out from a hook.
Oh, no. The second death was a funnier death than the chick.
No. I'm saying this is the second death where someone had a line while they were getting murdered, and the line was, oh, shit. Like, shit. No, you'd be like, ah! You would scream like Norbit.
Well, let's talk about Kurt Angle in this movie, TW. Again, you're giving out everything that happened in this movie because I know you want
terrible.
I know it's fucking terrible. I know you want to get over with this show, but again, gotta give it a little bit of nuance. We gotta give it a little bit of context. But TW, in this movie, Kurt Angle, you actually applaud his acting a little bit.
It's not horrible compared to everyone else's.
But he's trying to be serious. He's trying to like give you that Academy Award winning.
He's earning his pay.
He's not trying to win an Oscar reflection, Ice. He's not trying to win an Emmy. I think he's trying to win an MTV Popcorn Award. But again, he's trying.
A Razzie.
Or a Razzie. Well, let's say about the acting abilities of Kurt Angle, because he had that serious face. He had that face. Like, he took acting classes. So at least give him that.
Right. He delivered lines. And if anything, the lines were bad. Like, I always tell people, Marky Mark is my favorite bad actor. He's just bad. No matter how good the lines are, he's the same in every fucking movie. Especially if it's a comedy. He just looks like, gee, what the fuck are you talking about? Like a stoner or whatever. That's not even a stoner, right? But he delivered them. No point that I feel like he was acting. Counter to that is Glacier, who every line, you feel like, cut, what's my line again? Like, he was convincing in what he was saying. They just were... Some lines were absolutely horrendous. Like, especially the conversation with Glacier. I'm warning you. What's this shit? Yeah, this is, last I checked out was the sheriff. Like, he's the one that's mad when the other guy's the one that's mad that he won and he didn't. And it's just, in my city, you have to win the sheriff. Like, you got to run for it and get elected. And it's fucking tribal party lines and it's all that. You don't just get promoted. You can get promoted to chief of police, but not sheriff.
Think about it this way, because the ridiculousness that the whole town basically does not respect Kurt Angle, but yet he won an election. The diner alone shows you that nobody voted for Kurt Angle because they looked at him and laughed at him. He didn't get coffee. He didn't get service he's the sheriff and he got no service. That's the disrespect.
I will disagree with you there, because I would say specifically that diner was because the other guy at the diner was running. So of course all the regulars and the locals that go there are going to be like, fuck you, Glacier should have won.
We know it's a fish town. We know it's the river rat town or all that stuff, TW. I get you. And again, now let's kind of parlay, because again, we're going to try to combine scenes reflections, because I know Kurt, I know that Kurt Angle acting abilities had made TW, you know, he's getting like the bulges. He's getting the veins popping in his head. I could see it.
That's a scar.
No, it's not. It's not the scar. It's the veins popping out. This is TW's rage. You know, when you're the Detroit heavyweight champion of the world, Reflection Nights, you know, Hulk Hogan had, you know, he pumped up himself. He hulked up. That's the way you know that TW is hulking up. And he's holding up the hardcore title. But again, TW.
It says Detroit heavyweight champion.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's hardcore to the bone. Reflection is very hardcore to the bone. But let's talk about the three Jacobs boys. And of course, again, we saw the faces of Sid Vicious. We saw the faces of Kevin Nash. But we did not see the third face of the third Jacob boy, because the third Jacob boy was not a famous wrestler, which I did not know. It was not a famous actor, which I don't know either, TW. His name was Bill Lang, but that's neither here nor there. That's just logistics. It's just funny that they only wanted to show those two because they were known wrestlers. I got you, Thomas. I got it. You don't have to prove me.
This is a real belt from the Indies.
Yes, that is the Detroit Heavyweight Championship of the world. It is. But again, TW, what say you about the Jacobs boys? Because again, this movie was so bad. You should have had, you know what? Glacier should have got two checks. You could have made him a Jacob's boy with some bad makeup or whatever. So you could see his face.
I think the third one was Danny Spivey.
Well, he would have loved to take credit for it. He wanted to get a paycheck, but again, what's the
about it was the Undertaker. Boy? The one on the dock that stabbed the first chick was the Undertaker.
Now, you talked about Kevin Nash having one line in this movie, but again, what say you about the acting abilities of Sid Vicious and Kevin Nash doing the killings? Because that's the only faces you saw.
Sid was phenomenal. So is Kevin Nash. And I just thought, I can't believe Kevin Nash talks more than anybody else, not named Jim Cornette. How have I not heard Kevin Nash talk about being in this movie? Oh, I know. He probably saw it back and went, fuck that. I ain't telling nobody about this movie.
Kevin Nash, you have to remember that Kevin Nash played Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze. You have to remember Kevin Nash was in the Adam Sandler movie. You know, the prison football movie. I keep it.
The Longest Yard.
So, you know, he has. And he did The Punisher. Kevin Nash did The Punisher, yep, too. So, I don't know Sid Vicious's movie catalog per se.
Filmography.
That's a real movie, or are you just making a joke?
No. You said, I don't know Sid Vicious's. Blah, blah. I go, filmography.
Oh, I thought that was the name of a movie. I was like, what the hell? No. I never heard of that movie even myself. But anyway, let's see, because, like you said, Kevin Nash had a speaking role. And, of course, the makeup. I'm not saying the makeup was bad. But the makeup, you know, you got the golden.
He looked
like
Master Blaster Steel with hair.
It
was the same look as Master Blaster when he had the mohawk. He was just dirty.
You have just ruined this movie even for me. And that's how bad. Now you're saying Master Blaster. I'm thinking of the music. Dun, 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 dun. That's all you needed.
The other guy was Stu Grayson. That was the other Master Blaster. Iron.
No, well, yeah, that's Iron. But again, with this movie, it was played by Bill Lang. But again.
No, I'm talking about when Kevin Nash was a tag team, the Master
Blaster. No, I know that.
Stu Grayson.
I know you're just trying to fill some time here. I understand that. I thank you. I applaud you. Strong J. But again, let's go back to Sid Vicious and Kevin Nash in this movie, because Kevin Nash did have a speaking engagement. But again, the camera angles. Okay, I see the belt, TW. What do you want to prove?
I'm making it look bigger. This is a tiny little ass belt, but it looks bigger. Well,
it's your fault that you picked that belt. You could have had the U.S. title. You could have had the Intercontinental title. But you picked that belt.
Oh, man.
Treat it like a ladder match. But anyway, TW, what say you about Sid Vicious's, you know, his look? What say you about Sid Vicious's look in this movie?
It was awesome. He looked like the third Master Blaster, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Master Blaster Udi.
Udi? Are you just throwing names out of the hat?
His real last name is Udi.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to talk about this movie here, and then this is why I love TW. This is why TW makes it. Yes, you can see that TW really loves this movie so much that he's now looking at his.
That W more. Stands for wonder.
Yes.
The M stands for Miz. Mm-hmm. The E stands for Edge.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. But anyway.
And the 3 stands for 3 count.
Okay.
3-man band, Drew McIntyre.
I'm trying, Reflection. I'm really trying.
No one watched this movie. No, everyone watched this movie. It's on Tubi for free.
This is why people get paid for their, you know, YouTube channels when they do reactions to dumbass movies. We're trying, Reflection. We're really trying. But I couldn't even do a reaction to this movie because I couldn't say anything.
What would be a good drinking game for all of our people? And Donnie, you can do milk. So will Travis. Watch it. And every time someone says a bad line, do a shot. If you do alcohol, you will be dead in 10 minutes. So don't stop. Know your limits.
Kurt Angle did Sweet Mary and Joseph. Glacier has some bad lines. Kevin Nash spoke for no reason. And of course, there is a paradox in this movie because, again, like I said, there was a lot of combinations in this movie. I said Nightmare on Elm Street, Reflection Ice. I said Friday the 13th. I know what you did last summer because of the gear that they were wearing anyway. And TW added Creature of the Black Lagoon or the Blue Lagoon. But TW, they also added the Ghostbusters theme. They added the Ghost Paranormal Hunters, which actually from the beginning of the movie was the granddaughter of the guy that everybody hates. So they added another.
What's that? I disagree. I will say that basically it's the fucking Scooby-Doo team. And
okay,
the second death, when the guy goes to get a beer, there's just a fucking squid hand that comes over. Like, that's what I understand. They were dudes But the second death was a tentacle that came and grabbed him, which is why I said Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's some shit you would see on Scooby-Doo.
That is true. That is true. That's one of the death scenes because of two river rats that were trying to fix a motor. One of them was just so lazy to say, give me my beer. And the guy that's actually working on the motor has to get up from doing his job, and he gets killed first. Not the guy that wants to get the beer, but he got...
No, the guy that got the beer got killed first, and the second guy went looking for him because he was mad he didn't bring
his beer. The guy that got the beer was the guy doing the work on the motor. He was doing all the work, and he was just forced to do something else stupid. He should have died first. He should have died first. And one of the dumbest scenes in this movie, which now you're reminding me about something, is this little 10-year-old girl that, for some strange reason, at 10 o'clock at night, she wanted to do some, you know, she wanted to do Nightcrawler stuff. She said, Mom, I'm going out. It's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm looking for Nightcrawlers. And the mom, being the mom of the year reflection, I said, just be careful. It's 10 o'clock at night.
And there's fucking murders in your town. Mm-hmm. By the river.
And you saw the axe, and you saw the girl look. And this is what could have made the movie so good. At least I could have accepted how bad it was if they allowed the axe to kick. Put it over her head and kill the 10-year-old girl for being dumb right now. That's the only thing. That would have saved the movie, TW. Okay.
Or,
mm-hmm.
And this is what I thought they were going to do with it to give you a little sympathy. I thought they're going to let the little fucking kid live, and that's why the girl called to say, hey, my daughter's got back and she saw these weird motherfuckers in the jungle. Instead, the fucking 8-year-old gets whacked, and the 87-year-old bitch gets let go after watching her husband get fucking whacked. Why'd they let the old bitch go and kill the young bitch? Which is the same scene from Frankenstein. The only difference is in Frankenstein, they show him pick her up and throw her in the water. But he didn't throw her in the water to kill her. He threw her in the water to watch her swim, and she couldn't swim, so she drowned. This one says, we think she drowned, but she had lacerations all over. So fuck you. She didn't drown. She got axed to death and then thrown in the fucking water. And that leads to the next question. Why did they crucify everyone else? Including those two dudes working on the motor, and the second one was hung like a marionette. That's what I didn't know. First two were fucking hung like fucking crucifix, and then the third guy's hung like a marionette.
I can answer that question because this is why I kept saying that they took the element from Nightmare on Elm Street. Because remember, Freddy Krueger, you know, harassed the small town of Springwood, right? And because he was a pedophile. But the parents got revenge on Freddy. And Freddy came back in the dreams of the kids, so he's punishing the parents by killing their children. So, in essence, these Jacobs boys are going after the people that killed them initially.
Is that what the common denominator was?
Mm-hmm. Everybody who died was people either they knew or
descendants.
Related or descendants of the people that killed the Jacobs boys. That's what it was. So, with that being said, Reflectionites, two more things, TW, and then we'll close it out here because, again, let's go back to Kurt Angle for a second. Kurt Angle's dialogues of real acting, TW, happen in a church and in a fishing shop. Because in the church, he was talking with a deranged old lady who just was praying for the town, you know, to heal the town because she knew the town was cursed. And, of course, he had to get information from the old guy at the fishing shop, TW. But like you said, Kurt Angle was taking this acting job very seriously because the face. He had the face of seriousness. He wanted to create a great scene between the old deranged lady in the church and, of course, the old man at the fishing shop. What say you about the dialogue between those two people right there?
First of all, this crazy bitch is so crazy that she's fucking word for word quoting scripture. Which you wouldn't do if you're nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Long scriptures.
But she was right, though. But she was right.
Later on, because she wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
They thought she was crazy, but she was serious. And later on, she's the one where they did, all I can think is they did the silhouette so we wouldn't know if it was Kurt Angle or Glacier. And clearly it was Glacier, where she says to him, you're the only one that can save this town. And the silhouette, you couldn't tell which one it was. And I think that's why Glacier got picked, is because he was similar in stature of Kurt Angle, but he had hair. So, and most of the time, Kurt had a hat on. I don't even know if he ever wasn't wearing a hat. He definitely was never not wearing a sheriff outfit. And his fucking deputy do-right was always at the phone. Didn't matter what time it was. That dude had sheriff's department.
It's a small fishing town.
But that lady and the old man in the bait shop, you came here and asked a question. I gave you an answer. I get the fuck out of here. It's like, I actually thought to myself when he left and came back, and the guy goes, oh, you scared the bejeebus out of me. Those two scenes, that old man in the bait shop was completely different people. First one, he was like, fuck you, I ain't talking. Second one, he's like, hey, you scared the shit out of me. I pooped my pants. And then said, all right, I'll tell you who Joe Ben Hicks is. He's down the fucking road. Right? It's like, why the fuck wouldn't you just say that the first time? It was just a way to... But I remember when the scene ended and they showed him sitting at his tackle box register, I looked at him and I went, is this a fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi situation where Alec McGinnis signed on for this movie thinking it was going to be better than it was? And then all of a sudden, because he was a good actor, garbage lines, but he delivered, right? Like, it wasn't bad acting. It was good delivery of bad lines. And I just thought, I wonder if that guy was a shoot actor and just fucking had to pay a bill. So he fucking starred in that movie. But you do know the story of Alec Guinness, right? He was like, fuck that movie. And I will never ever promote it or do anything. And then he came around a couple years later when it was such a big success. But he was so like, what the fuck did I sign up
for? When the money rolls in, then you'll talk about it. But then he ain't talking about the River of Darkness. That's for damn sure. But anyway, one more thing, TW. And again, if this was a WWE Studios movie, that this they would have had one thing for Kurt Angle if it was a WWE Studios movie. If River of Darkness was a WWE Studios movie, there would have been a lot more action. So this way Kurt Angle could fight off the Jacobs boys.
Yeah.
In this movie, he only fought off the He only fought Kevin Nash for two minutes. The shot.
He got his ass whooped, is what I'm saying. Except for he stabbed him in the neck.
Here's the lunacy of stupidity in this movie. He shot him, reflection eyes, I kid you not, and Kevin Nash looks at his chest, looks at Kurt Angle, says, you already know I'm dead, right? Then Kevin Nash chokes Kurt Angle, so he has his hunting knife, stabs him in the neck, and that for some strange reason gets a jolt out of Kevin Nash. A shotgun got no jolt, but a knife, TW, got a jolt. I can't.
And he said, and I think pulled it out himself and said, why, or something like that. And then Kurt hung him because somehow he fell to the ground and ran up the stairs and threw a noose over him. And then he did a pose because he was going to turn and shoot him again, which already didn't work. And when he did it, Houdini fucking disappeared out of the noose. And then they're chasing him in the boat.
Right. So long story short, Reflection Nights, the townspeople thought the only way to make this right and to, you know, lift the curse was to get the old man Hicks, get him on a boat led by Glacier of all people. Glacier is the one that put him on the boat and pushed the boat towards the three Jacobs boys. And again, we never see the face of the third one. We only see Sid Vicious and Kevin Nash. Then the funny thing is the Scooby-Doo people that are left alive, which is the girl, shoots her grandfather, which we find out, in the head to mercy kill him, while the Jacobs boys, all three of them, use their axe and disembowel Hicks.
She lied and said it was her grandfather because when she did the epilogue, she said the local authorities said it was a mercy killing. Mercy killing my ass. I shot the man that raped my mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he was the actual guy. He prosecuted them for the crime. And the other guy said there was no trial. There just was a judgment. And he did it to cover up what he did. So he raped the girl's mom and... So if he was the grandfather, then he raped his own daughter what it was.
Which is a great hook for the movie. But then for all the stuff that we had to watch through Reflection Eyes for that hook, which is good, don't get me wrong, this movie is terribly done, terribly written.
And then just ends. And
it just ends.
But I can't believe we're going to talk. You definitely are trying to get canceled. There's only two black dudes in this whole movie, and you did not talk about them one time. And the guy had the best gas station name ever, the Filler Up, and his name was Filthy Phil. And I'm sure the sign probably said P-H-I-L, her up.
I'm trying to help you out, T-Dub. I'm trying to give you the abbreviated version. You said.
Then 8-Track Brown is playing cards with him and just throwing down cliches left and right, going, read them and weep. Suit yourself. Yeah, and all these other cliches. And it was like, come, this is so bad. And then they see Bill Hicks. Or whatever the fuck Hicks, wrapped up in a fucking potato sack with his foot moving around and don't do shit, but call Kurt Angle fucking Barney, who was sitting at the phone again. He goes, yeah, I just saw him getting a lot of gas. He goes, well, that's not weird. He goes, no, but the weird part is, I think I saw a body wrapped up in the thing and I saw a foot. He goes, a human foot?
No, motherfucker. A fucking foot of a squirrel that they were hunting that was the size of a human. It's so bad you forgot about Uncle Phil and 8-Track Brown being in the fucking scene.
Well, that I'm trying to give you the abbreviated version so this way we can close out on this movie. So, with that being said, TW, you know, our favorite part of the night, we have to grade the movie. I guess, you know, if we do the letter grade, I think it's even, a Z is too high. I'm sorry. A Z is really
a
high.
Z.
A Z is too high, Reflection Night. So I'm just going to give it a straight and complete. You have to watch it and just find out for yourself. This could be some kind of, you know, spiritual uplifting gathering if you want to watch this movie. I don't know. But I give it an incomplete, TW. So let's say, what grade do you give?
I'm going to go with, which this is perfect for an incomplete, but it's like the total incomplete. I'm going to give it on a scale of 1 to 100 a fucking zero, because it is absolutely, even Kurt Angle not being a bad actor doesn't give it 1%, because everything else is so bad, including his dialogue, that enough acting doesn't do any. It doesn't even matter that he's enough. And same thing with the Alec Guinness of this movie at the bait shop. Those two acted good. The old lady was terrible. Yeah, I'll give you my statement, but you can't kill a dead person. It's like, okay, is Bobby Heenan writing this shit? Who's writing this shit? Because that's all it is Undertaker quotes the whole movie. It's just so.
That's an insult to Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan would have wrote a great movie.
Bobby Heenan did it when it was fucking relevant. This whole movie is, it was some Jacob Boys. By the way, that lady was the first time I heard him call Jacob Boys, because I swear to you they were called the Taker Boys the whole time, which is hilarious because that's all the jokes were Undertaker jokes. Terrible. It's a 0 out of 100.
This is the Mandela effect, TW, because you hear what you want to hear. I heard Jacob's Boys, you heard Taker Boys, and I'm not going to say you're wrong. It's just what you heard, because again, with quality filth like this, that's called River of Darkness, you're going to try to take any positivity out of the movie. And with that being said, we close. I can't believe we got some minutes onto this one. I thought we were going to do like 30 minutes. We were going to do like a Domino's pizza kind of, you know, 30 minutes or less delivery kind of movie. But anyway, we close on this PWR at the movies, River of Darkness, starring Kurt Angle, Big Sexy Kevin Nash, Psycho Sid Vicious, and Ray the Glacier Lloyd. So, TW, do you want to do Army of Darkness or Damn for the next week?
I'm going to be out of town.
You want to do the next episode?
Let's do it, man. Let's go back-to-back garbage.
Back-to-back. I'm trying to be nice, but if you want to go double feature.
Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I'm going to go on a limb.
Uh-huh.
And then the fucking 2 minutes of what I saw already of that movie, from one room to another, there's no way this movie will be worse than The River of Dumbness. There's no way.
We will find out in 2 weeks.
Instead of the Army of the Damned, it'll be Damned of the Town is what it'll be. Because there's no way it's worse. None.
We shall find out in 2 weeks when we do a double feature. And we will review Army of the Damned, starring, I guess, Tommy Dreamer and who else?
Joey Fat One, Selena Vega, and Sully from Godsmack. Yes!
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, TW.
And that's just what I saw in the first 2 minutes.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, TW, give out those socials so we can get out here and you can get and do your TW nighttime wonder, you know,
excursion. Jimmy on probation still? Or is he
good? Yes, he is. Of course he's on probation.
So we're still going to mention him because I mentioned him. So.
Well, yeah, but you have to say probationary.
Probationary. Pretty soon we're not going to mention you, Jimmy. PWC Network at podbean.com. You can find us there. You can also find Homie Media Group at podbean.com or at channelattitude.com. We're on X at PW Reflection. I mentioned Travis, so at Nuts and Volts PW is his Twitter account. At Big Ray Hernandez is Big Ray's handle for every single social media. And again, he's on True Social now, and I believe Rumble. Every Wednesday, you can find him on the Next Level podcast live on all of those platforms. You can find me on Instagram and X at TommyWonder19. You can find me on TikTok and X at TheTommyWonder. Snapchat is NumberWonder. Facebook.com/TommyWonder. And you can find Big Vito and Noel at Big Vito Brand on TikTok. And
You can watch the early release of the Reflection video at Big Ray Hernandez on X if he's able to get our video uploaded.
Well, Big Ray will definitely do it. I don't know about A-Track. But anyway, neither here nor there. But you can follow me on my extra at PWSOPRF. That's PWSOPROF. And again, follow my brother in arms, 8-Track Brown, the dirtiest of the city, the king of the reactions, and the number 8, TRAC Brown, and of course, the host of the Wednesday Locker Room, Billy Ray Valentine at Obi-Wan, you know me. So with that being said, in 2 weeks, after TW's gay excursions, you know, the Detroit Heavyweight Champion's got to defend his title somewhere in Detroit, so you need a hero there. Oh, you're putting the title up
four in dudes okay. Going to Fort Myers.
Cool. Nude beach?
Hopefully.
All right.
Definitely four nude apartment. Four dude cool. Nude apartment. We're going to send you DMs.
Hell no, I ain't going to open it. But anyway, with that being said, I'm the professor. That's Mr. Wonderful, Dum Dum Doo Idiot Stone, the Iron Stomach One, Dr. Freakenstein, and the longest reigning Detroit Heavyweight Champion of the world. Acknowledge him, please.
Acknowledge.
This is the PWR Podcast at the How Me Media Group at Podbean.com. There's no Ultimate Warrior in this movie, but anyway, I get you.